The church is a body, one body. The church is a bride. The church is a kingdom. The church is a flock of sheep. The church is a vineyard. The church is a strong house. The church is a precious pearl. The church is a strong and mighty army. The church is a tall, shining candlestick. Amen. But of all those metaphors that we can use to describe the church, the one that I think is the most powerful is the metaphor, the church is one body. Church is one body. As you look yourself up and down, you'll notice all your members of your body are present. And the Lord has given us a beautiful metaphor by giving us this one, that the church is a body, because every time we look in the mirror, we see our bodies, don't we? We see our heads, we see our torso. If we've got a long enough mirror, we may see our thighs, our legs, our feet. We see our entire body. And every time we examine our body, it should remind us of the power of the church. It reminds us as to what the church is and how the church should operate. So I want to use this morning for a subject, how the church should function. How the church should function. Now, I know in our bodies, we from time to time get little nooks and wrinkles and aches and pains. But we all value our bodies. We all recognize how important and how precious our bodies are. And so it is with the body of Jesus Christ. We make up the very members of the body of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we're going to look at this incredible metaphor. We're going to use it as a visual for us as we look at how the church should function. So Paul uses seven key points in this passage of scripture that we're going to look at. And if you have your Bibles or if you're looking at Bibles, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 17. That's the passage I'm going to be covering. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. And we'll pause as we go through it. So the first thing Paul says is that God has made one body with many parts. Of course we have many parts. I'm a part, you're a part, the person sitting next to you, the person sitting behind you, the person sitting in front of you. They all are a part of the body, but each of these members function in unity together to make up one single body. Now I want you to imagine if in your body you only had one hand. Most of us are born with two hands. For the best part, most of us are born with two hands. Most of us are born with two feet. Imagine if we were all born with just one hand. Or we're all born with just one foot. You know, there's a saying that says, one hand can't clap. You need to have two hands in order to clap. Have you noticed that? And so God has given us two hands, two feet, and so it is in the body. There are different members, but we are all one body, and he has set the body and the parts of the body in the correct order. So God has made one body with many parts. When we speak about the body of Christ, it cannot function without the head. Who's the head of the body of Christ? Jesus. Jesus is the head of the body, and we make up the many other members of the body. And so we need the head in order to function, but we also need all the other parts in order to function. Let's hear what Paul says in verse 12. Let's read verse 12 to 14. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. I want to add there, but the human parts make up only one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. You notice he says are Jews, not were Jews, but are Jews. He's speaking to a church that is made up of various people from different nationalities, from different ethnicities, from different backgrounds, from different countries. And he's speaking to them and he says, some of us are Jews and some of us are Gentiles and some of us are slaves and some of us are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. and we all share the same spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. And so we've got to understand that there is going to be diversity in the body. Just have a look around you, the person beside you. They look different, they speak different. Maybe they come from a different part of the world. But we're all different, but we all make up one body. And we've got to understand that in the body, there's going to be difference. There's going to be diversity. I often think about the garden. You know, if I was a gardener, I wouldn't just want one color of plant in my garden. I'd want a bit of red and a bit of yellow and a bit of green and a bit of purple. I want the diversity because the diversity makes it what it is. And so God has made one body, but many parts. And that's what we have to get used to, the fact that everybody is not the same. Everybody doesn't think the same. Everybody doesn't look the same. The second thing he says is that every member of the body is significant. Every single member of the body is significant. Now, is there a member in your body that you would consider to be invalid? You know, like, I don't really need my big toe. I don't really need my thumb. The funny thing is about your big toe, as clumsy as it may seem, without your big toe, you would not be able to stand and balance. You would not be able to walk around, you know, flat-footed, you know, on your feet. You'd be falling over everywhere you go if you just cut off your big toe. And if I offered you £1,000 or £10,000 to cut off your big toe and sell it to me for £10,000, how many takers do I have? None of us. Because we all see the value of the big toe. We all see the value of the thumb as insignificant as it is. Now, most of us don't think about our big toe from day to day. We don't think about our thumb from day to day. We don't even pay any mind. We don't even think that it has any value until you buck your big toe. When you buck your big toe, the whole body aches. At least all of your leg aches because you've bucked. Has anyone bucked your big toe? I keep doing it. If I walk around my house without shoes, I keep bucking my... I got big feet, size 12. I keep bucking my big toe on things, and especially if I buck it on a table or a chair or something metal, and I'm hopping around, and I'm, ooh, ah, ooh. The whole body seems to feel it because the big toe is feeling it. And Paul says that every single member of the body is important. Verse 15, he says, if the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not the hand, does that not make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? Of course not. And so you might turn around and say, well, I don't really feel like I'm a part of this church anymore. I don't feel like I'm a part of the body anymore. Does that make you any less a part of the body or a part of the church just because you're having a bad day? No. No, Jesus still sees you as a part of his body. He still sees you as a part of his church. There's a scripture that says he's married to the backslider. You know, once you become a part of the body of Jesus Christ, he'll pursue you constantly. Because as far as he's concerned, you belong to him. And it's the same thing with us. When we find a missing member in the body, we should pursue them. Doesn't matter that they're talking as if they feel like they're not a part of the body. What do you mean you're not a part of the body, brother, sister? You're a part of the body. We love you. We want to pray for you. We want to see you restored. We want to see you healed. We want to see you overcome that circumstance that you're going through because you are part of the body and we need you. And then he goes on to say in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? And so we have to acknowledge the diversity of the body, of the members of the body, and we need to get used to it. Now, you know, there may be some people in the body that might, you know, may not be your cup of tea. You may find their personality style a little bit irritating. But we need that member of the body. Don't trouble that member of the body. Don't chop that toe off. Don't chop that finger off. Don't chop that eye out. We need that member. Because that member has some use. You may not understand what the use of that body member is, but the body knows the use. You know, all the toes and the feet and everything below the knee, they probably just know the value of everything below the knee. They don't really know about the, you know, the top half of the body. They don't really get involved in that area of ministry. But the head sees and knows that he needs everything below the knee and he needs everything above the knee. And if you say to the head, why don't we just get rid of that big toe? He's so awkward. He's so ugly. Look how big he is compared to the rest of them. He's clumsy. The head will say, oh no, we're going to need that toe. Leave that toe right where it is. It doesn't matter how insignificant you feel your role is or your part is or your ministry is. We need all of us. We need you. We need you. You're an important part of the body. So we shouldn't allow ourselves to be discouraged, or we shouldn't allow ourselves to feel somehow insignificant or insufficient, because every single one of us is valid and every single one of us is needed. The third thing Paul says is that God has arranged each member of the body and given it its rightful place. You know, the place that you occupy in the body is your rightful place, and God has called you and fitted you in there. Now, some of you might be, you know, in the catering team, and catering is your big thing. And others might be in the stewarding team, and stewarding is your big thing. Some of you may be in the worship team singing or playing an instrument, or perhaps you're on the tech team and you're doing all the technical things. Every single one of you have been placed right where you needed to be placed so that the body could be edified. Hear what Paul says. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Imagine if we had, like, you know, four hands or 4 feet. It would, not necessary. God has given us 2 hands, 2 feet, given us 10 toes and 10 fingers, though, because he knows that's exactly what the body needs. Imagine, God has designed the anatomy of the body so that it functions perfectly, beautifully. No scientist, no biologist can improve on the human body. We have found out that we've got just the right amount of ears. Anybody noticed? Just the right amount of tongue. Can you imagine somebody with 2 tongues? Oh, Lord. 1 tongue can be a bit much sometimes. Imagine them talking at you with 2 tongues or being double-tongued. That would be over the top, wouldn't it? So God has given the body exactly what it needs, and the physical body, and so he has in the church given us exactly what we need. Somebody say amen. Amen. So God didn't do a bad job of the body, and he hasn't done a bad job of the spiritual body. He's done a great job, and he's placed everyone exactly where they need to be. The fourth thing Paul says is that as members of the body of Christ, we all need each other. We all need each other. We must avoid independency and rivalry. We can't afford to say, well, I don't need them. They can go about their business. We don't even need them. I'll just do it myself. There's no room for that in the physical body. There's no room for that in the spiritual body. We can't have independence and we can't have rivalry. Ganging up against each other, arguing with each other, quarreling with each other, squabbling with each other. Here's what he says in verse 21. He says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Because we all need all of us. A member of the body of Christ, as members of the body of Christ, none of us have the right to reject another member. Christ died for each and every one of us. And so we are all members of that one body. Now think about this. If Jesus died for you, you must be really worthy. Every drop of Jesus' blood was shed for you. And every cell of Jesus' body died on that cross just for you. So how important does that make you? That makes you tremendously significant. The fifth thing Paul says is that even the seemingly least and weakest parts of the body have great importance. Verse 22. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. See, we don't think too much about our organs, our bowels. We may think, oh, the bowel's one of the weaker elements. Let's not talk about the bowel. Let's not present the bowel to anybody. Let's not even speak about the bowel. The liver. Oh, what use does the liver have? Or the kidney? Or the heart? Or the lung? But all of these organs which are invisible and don't seem to be very active are working away in the background. And without these members of the body would be in serious trouble. And so we need every single member of the body, even those that seem to be weakest, even the youngest child, even the smallest child, even the eldest pensioner. We need every single one of you. Every one of you has value. Every one of you is important. Number six, he says, there are some parts of the body that we do not show publicly. Is that true? Are there parts of your body that you don't show publicly? Yes. But that doesn't mean that they are any less important. Some of the body members, we cover them up. We're very discreet about them. We don't want anyone to see them. Here's what he says in verse 23. And the parts we regard as less honorable, like the bowel, are those we clothe with the greatest care. True or false? We clothe those parts with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. There are parts of the body that should not be seen because of modesty. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So some members in the body need a specific, special kind of extended care that other members of the body don't need. Isn't it true? I'll turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you one of them? Are you one of them? Yes. We have a little saying. How's it go? Extra care required. Or extra grace required. E-G-R. Extra grace required for that one. That one will test you. You will need extra grace. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. So if somebody is a bit touchy, or somebody is a bit, you know, wordy, those people might need extra care and extra dignity because of their nature. So we don't turn, we don't look at them down our nose and say, oh, those people there, they're a real pain in the backside. No, they're valuable members of the body. They just need extra care and extra grace. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If we want harmony in the church, we're going to have to be looking out for each other. We're going to have to realize that not everyone is going to want to do it my way. Not everyone is going to see it my way. Not everyone is going to be like me. Not everybody is going to be as good as me. Not everybody's going to agree with me. But we have to find a way to all come together, all to work together, so that each member can be a valid member of the one body. Why? Because we need all of us. Amen? So use your imagination to think what Paul is talking about here. I remember the Three Musketeers. Used to love watching the cartoons, the Three Musketeers on telly. Do you remember what their slogan was? One for all and all for one. One for all and all for one. And that's exactly what it is in the body. One member of the body is for all, and all the members of the body is for one. Why? Because we need all of us. Amen? We are like the Three Musketeers. Seventh and last, he says this. All of us are affected by the pain of one of us, and all of us are blessed by the prosperity of one of us. When one member suffers, the whole body feels it. Verse 26 and 27, last two verses. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So we acknowledge that when you suffer, I suffer. When you rejoice, I rejoice. The Bible says that, doesn't it? It says that we should mourn with those who mourn, that we should rejoice with those who rejoice. That if somebody is in pain or suffering or experiencing hardship, that we should go to that person's aid. Why? Because we need all of us. Summarizing then, here's what Paul is saying. We are all members of the body of Christ. There's no independence here. There's not really two churches here. There's only one church. The body of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we are all members of one body, and that body is Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the head, and we are the members of the body. We have all been uniquely designed by God for God's own purposes. He knows what we need. He knows what you can offer, what you can contribute, what you can give. And he's designed you in such a way so that you can do that and do it fruitfully. Three, we need to serve God where he has placed us and use our gifts that he has given us to serve the entire body. Here's a challenge. Are you sitting down on a gift or on an ability that you could use for the edification of the body? I want to encourage you. Stir yourself up. Get yourself into action. Because we need all of us. Fourth, none of us should feel inferior or superior. Why? Because we are all different, but we all have the same value in God's eyes. All of us have the same value in God's eye. There's none of us here more important than the other. Those of us who have the biggest rank and file, well, that just means that we should be the biggest servants. We should have the biggest overall, and we should be the ones that are first to grab a broom. We should be the ones that are first to serve someone, because to be a leader is to be a servant. Amen? And finally, let us work to keep the unity of the body in the bond of peace. If we're going to have unity in the body, it's going to take great effort. And it's easy to cheer and shout and say, yes, hallelujah, when these messages are being preached. But when you are tested and tried by another member, that's the time for you to draw out these scriptures. And that's the time for you to remember what the Bible has to say about the body. Amen? As the old people say, teeth and tongue will meet. Amen? Teeth and tongue will meet. And sometimes the teeth bite the tongue. And the tongue says, ouch. Okay? It happens because they're living so close together, because they're in such close proximity, because they need each other so much. Sometimes they wind each other up. But how do you respond when you are wound up by somebody in the body? Now, I tell you what, I'm going to put a little bet on tonight, today. I bet you it's 12 o'clock now. I bet you by 2 o'clock somebody's going to upset you. Somebody's going to do something that you don't like. Somebody's going to move something out of place. It may not be in the church, maybe when you go home. But you know, members are constantly upsetting other members. And you know, members constantly want to assert their rights and their truth. You know, everybody has their own truth nowadays. Have you heard that? Yeah, everybody's got, let me just speak my truth. And then you can speak your truth. But there's only one truth in the church. Amen? And that truth is based on the word of God. The only truth is that Jesus Christ died for us sinners, of whom I am chief. Can you imagine that? The great apostle, that's what he said. Jesus Christ died for me, a sinner, of whom I am chief. It's that kind of humility that we need to walk around with. We need to recognize, you know, who was it? John the Baptist said, I must decrease and you must increase. And that's exactly what we need to be thinking as Christians, that I need to decrease and allow my brother and my sister to increase. The Bible says that we should prefer one another. We should prefer one another. That means that I prefer you and you prefer me. I want you to get ahead and you want me to get ahead. And if I want you to get ahead and you want me to get ahead, hey, we're living in wonderful harmony. Amen? And the key to success in any relationship is humility and long-suffering. You know what long-suffering is? Simply this. Suffering long. Suffering long and being kind. It should be said, long-suffering. Long-suffering. The South Africans always say, you know, we are suffering. We are here suffering. In the church, sometimes we will be suffering. In order to keep the unity of the Spirit, we have to zip our mouth and hold your head down or hold your head high and walk on. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. He has designed the body in such a way for our perfection and for our blessing. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you that you have designed the body in such a way that, Lord, we can work together. Though we are many members, we are one body. And Father, all for one and one for all. Lord, would you come now? Would you minister into our hearts that humility, the humility of Jesus, the passion of Jesus to serve each other in the same way that he laid down his life. He fought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he laid down his life that we might live. And so we thank him. Lord, we thank you that you are the head of the body, that we are members one of another. And we thank you, Lord. Help us to live in peace and harmony with each other, in the church and in the home, so that we can show forth your praises. They will know that we are your disciples because we love one another, and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.